Pray with me, please. Holy God, as I come before you this day, I ask you right in this moment, O Lord, to cleanse me of all of the rambling thoughts that have been flowing throughout my head and my heart this week. I ask you to decrease me, O Lord, so that you might increase. I ask you, O Lord, to come into this moment and let your Spirit pour down a word that needs to be heard by each and every one in this sanctuary, Lord. A word that will inspire, that will challenge, a word that will seek forth, that will last not only from this moment, but will go forth until the ends of the earth. Lord, I come just as I am. And I invoke your presence, O God, to be with the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, that each and everything might be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning, church.
Morning.
Let me say that again. Good morning, church.
Morning.
Ah, that's what I love to hear. I love to hear that you are alive and well this morning. As I was pondering what I might talk about today on this Baptism Sunday, I realized just a few weeks ago we had a baptism and in our sanctuary as well, and I preached on baptism at that moment. And so and I thought about it today, and I realized, yeah, I'm going to talk about the water today. And it reminded me of a story. A story is told of a preacher who liked to preach about baptisms. Week after week, he would preach about it. Finally, the deacons asked him if he would preach a sermon on Genesis chapter 1. They said, let's see if the preacher can get a sermon on baptism out of that. When the preacher got up to preach, the preacher said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth is two-thirds water. The subject is water baptism. I'm not going to do that to you next week. As a matter of fact, I recall that we'll have a guest preacher next week, you'll be all right. The water is for all. The water is for all. My sisters and brothers, in this 21st century, there are still some who can't go to the water of baptism. There are still some who are not accepted when it comes to the church. We got some who we've legalized it in such a way that somehow those who want to come and to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior have to jump through hoops and hurdles. They have to meet a certain standard, a certain criteria. They can't just see the word and want to live the word. They got to do some other things around accepting and being baptized in the church. In other words, what we're saying is the water is not free for all. Yet that is not what Jesus said. I believe Jesus said, come all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't believe there was a limitation on who could come. I don't believe there was a sheet that checked out like the Ten Commandments, and you had to meet all of these qualifications in order to go to the water. But today, even today, there are those who have to meet certain criteria in order for them to be baptized. If they don't attend a certain class, if they don't dress a certain way, if they've had a style of life that's been different, they've created this sense that you cannot be baptized. And so I wanted to look back into the scriptures and see what does my Bible say about this thing, about the water being for all? And I was drawn immediately on this day, for this baptism, I was drawn immediately to Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. For indeed, we hear the story of Philip. Philip, who is on the other side of the road, down the road of peace, you might say. And meanwhile, there's an Ethiopian eunuch. What I love about this story is the Ethiopian eunuch had to travel almost 3,000 miles from the Ethiopian eunuch's homeland in order to get to the temple in Jerusalem. Travel 3,000 miles to be in that presence. But I want you to know that even though the Ethiopian eunuch would have traveled that far, the Ethiopian eunuch would not have been allowed in the temple. Not because the Ethiopian eunuch was black, not because the Ethiopian eunuch was not Jewish, not because of the status, because a eunuch was a very high status role to hold, which, as we read, this particular eunuch had an upper level in the Candace regime. And so this Ethiopian eunuch was someone who was revered and respected. But why would he not be allowed in the temple? The eunuch was not allowed in the temple because of the eunuch's sexual identity. A eunuch typically refers to a person who has been castrated or often early enough in life to have significant hormonal impacts. Though it may also refer to a man who is not castrated but is impotent or celibate or otherwise unlikely to procreate. Notice the reason that you would not be allowed in the temple is because you were unable to procreate. In this tradition, even though the eunuch had traveled 3,000 miles to be in this service of the Lord, the eunuch would be denied because of the eunuch's sexual orientation, because of his sexual nature. And so here's a eunuch who's gone travel all of this ways, even being denied to enter the temple, as we can imagine. What is a eunuch doing on this 3,000 trek back home? The Ethiopian eunuch is reading the scripture. The Ethiopian eunuch knows something about God more than those who claim to know God better than he. The Ethiopian eunuch knows that God, that God, that Son that came down so that he might have life everlasting, that same God loves him just the way he is. That same God wants him to come and to be into the kingdom with him. And so the eunuch is riding in the chariot. And I can just imagine he's just reading and he's just going along. But meanwhile, the Spirit, as the scripture says, the Spirit has come to Philip, a follower of Christ, a follower of Jesus. And the Spirit has said, "Go, Philip, go into the wilderness. Look out." He's told him to go into the wilderness, not a place that anybody would want to go. And I can just imagine Philip, even though the scripture don't tell us, I know if it had been me, I'd be like, "Really, Spirit? You want me to go over there? I mean, there's nothing but desolate land. There's a road, but there ain't nothing else. Why are you challenging me to go there? There's no house. There's no community. There's no church. There's no pastor per soul. So why am I going there?" But the Spirit says, "Go." And what does Philip do? Philip goes. Philip goes. And when Philip gets there, the chariot just comes by, and the eunuch is still sitting there reading. But Philip is like, "Okay, I'm not going up there. I don't know Susan. I'm not going up there." And the Spirit says, "No, no, no. Go over to the chariot." And I believe the scripture says he's got to run to catch up with it. It isn't like he just meanders over and the chariot's waiting for him. No, he's got to run up to the chariot. And he runs up to the chariot and he looks in. Now, this is tricky. He looks in. And in that moment, he knows what the eunuch is reading. He knows what the eunuch is reading. And in so, he asks the eunuch, he goes, "Do you know what you're reading?" By this time, the eunuch has stopped. "Oh, chariot, whoa! Do you know what you're reading?" And I love this. The eunuch says, How can I know if someone won't teach me? How can I know if someone won't show me the way? Have mercy now. How can I know if the word is not explained to me? How can I know if the love of Christ is not exposed to me? How can I know if nobody will talk to me? After all,
this is leading back to, I just went 3,000 miles to the temple. And I had to come back with only the scripture. Nobody talked to me. Nobody sat me down and shared with me the word of thus said the Lord. Nobody told me that I could get into the waters. Nobody told me that I could have Jesus on my side all the time, any day of the week, 24/7, 365 a year. Nobody told me that. So how can I know? Peter
immediately sits down. And Peter immediately began to explain to him the word. And Peter immediately began to tell him about Jesus. Peter immediately began to tell him what he knows and how he knows it. Peter immediately began to share with him where others would turn away, where others had excluded and said, you are not welcome because of who you are. You are not welcome because of your sexuality. You are not welcome to hear what the Lord of God has to say. Even though the Lord of God creates, molds, shapes, builds, creates everything, you were not welcome. But in that moment, something is happening in that eunuch. Something is happening in that individual that Peter, that Philip cannot even explain. Philip doesn't even know, cannot know how the Holy Spirit is bubbling up all inside of this individual. The spirit within inside is an invisible thing that comes in and overcomes within your heart. And as he is hearing from Philip, the eunuch is being challenged and changed, rearranged and molded. And what does he do? They're driving down the road and somehow this eunuch looks over and sees that there's a pool of water, which would have not been unusual to come upon. There's a pool of water and it's sitting there, and the eunuch looks over at Peter and says, there is water, because Philip has told him about baptism. Philip did not look at his race or his creed or his color. Philip did not look at where he had been and what he had done. Philip didn't look at his sexuality and how that was shaping his world. Peter looked at him as a person who was seeking the Lord for his life. And because he was seeking the Lord for his life, Peter did not make any decisions about who was in and who was out. Peter was not saying, well, you know what? You don't meet a certain criteria, we can't go into this water. You'll have to wait until you do this or that. Peter does not do that. What does Peter do? The scripture says Peter takes him to the water, and they both step in the water, and Peter baptizes, not because of who the eunuch has been and what the eunuch has done, but he baptizes him in the name of the Lord. And why? Because it was not his decision to make. It is never our decision to make on who the Lord invites in and who the Lord invites out. I know we like to say, well, you know, they got to do this in order to have it happen. They got to be this. No. The scripture does not tell us that. The scripture says that this eunuch wanted to be baptized. And what does Philip do? Philip says, yes, Lord. Here am I. I will baptize him in your name. It wasn't based on his color of his skin. It wasn't based on his nationality. It wasn't based on his gender. Wasn't based on anything other than his desire to be a servant of the living God. His desire to be obedient to Christ. Why? Because once he was baptized, the rest is up to Jesus. It's not up to me. It's not up to you to decide any of that. It is our job to accept those who seek the Lord, to journey with those who seek the Lord, to be with those who seek the Lord, whether they are gay, straight, transgender, whether they are black, white, whether they are from the United States, or whether they are from Ethiopia, whether they're from the Congo, whether they're from Asia. It doesn't matter where they have come from. It only matters this, that they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if they accept Jesus, they are all right with me. If they accept the Lord, I have no problem with them. We may have to struggle sometimes. And just because you get baptized, don't mean you got right. Just because you get baptized, don't mean you won't make a mistake. Just because you get baptized, don't mean there may not be some questions in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be rosy. Matter of fact, I like to tell you this. Preachers told today we are going to witness baptism today. And I trust that as only North Shore can do, that we will receive our baptismal candidate with all the love and compassion, with all the grace and honor, with all the beauty that God offers, and that we will make this promise that we will journey with him, that we will journey with Sean each and every day of this path, and that we will offer whatever love and support. And yes, there may be a need for a correction. I'm not going to say there ain't no time for correction. Yeah, look at him. There may be a need for a correction, and that's all right. It's a matter of how the correction is done. Is the correction done in love or in spite? Because if it's done in spite, God don't like ugly. I can attest to that. But if it's done in love, if it's done in love, it will be heard. So brothers and sisters, today, be reminded as you go from this place, be reminded as you go from this house of worship, that in this house, in this place, the waters of baptism are for all. Amen.